Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grey City Church.
Because in life there are really, really a lot of standards. And the question is, whose standard are we following? It's a very good question to ask. Whose standards are we following? And I got a clue from Colossians chapter 3, and I want you to turn to it. Even though our main text today is from Acts, I want you to turn over to Colossians chapter 3 because I think therein lies excellence. So if you turn to Colossians 3, chapter 3, verses 23 to 24, you get a good chunk of meat there. If you want to be excellent, that's a good piece of meat you need to eat from the Word of God. It says there, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. From this verse, I infer two standards there. One standard is actually yourself. The standard is yourself. It says, whatever you do, do with all your heart. So you do it with your whole heart. Whole heart meaning all your efforts, all your might, all your strength, and of course, healthy heart. You do things out of a healthy heart, not out of condemnation or guilt or whatever. All right? But you work at it with your whole heart. So that's your first standard. So the first standard you pitch against is yourself, is your whole heart. And I also noticed the second standard here in this verse, excellent verse, ooh, beautiful verse. And the second standard is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you must know who you serve. You are serving God. You are not serving human masters. So the second standard you should pitch against is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the excellent one. You pitch against him, he is your model example. He's the one who holds the keys of excellence. So if you pitch against him, guess what? He is the reward. We were told in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 to 23, he says, he is the reward and he will give you your inheritance. Wow, you pitch against this standard, you don't get condemned, you don't get to strive until you don't know who you are. You lost your identity sometimes, you know, when you strive too much. Or there's certain expectations of others and you strive too much, you can lose your identity. With God, who is our standard, he says he will give you your inheritance. You know, whilst preparing for this sermon, I suddenly remembered a note which I received from Pastor Graham Johnston. I served Pastor Graham Johnston in Subiaco Church for 2 years because I was being the intern as a psychologist. And so I had to be in his church under another pastor who is my supervisor. And before I left, Pastor Graham gave me his book. Pastor Graham, the late Pastor Graham, has passed away. And just before I left the church, he gave me a book, and he wrote this phrase there. And I did not know that it was actually the secret to excellence until I was preparing this sermon. I said, he was telling me how to be excellent, because he's a very excellent man himself. Excellent preacher. He's really, really good. He's a pastor of pastors. And we lost him at age 50. It was really, really sad. It was a very, very sad day. But he was an excellent, excellent man. And so in that note, he wrote me this phrase. Today, I begin to appreciate it. It says to me, serve the Lord with a whole heart. Wow. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Serve the Lord with a whole heart. And now I understand that therein lies the secret of being excellent. And that is, if you serve the Lord with a whole heart, with all your might and strength, your giftings and your failings, you serve the Lord with your whole heart, you will be excellent. But today we're going to see how this standard of service can be lived out in one person. I love his name. I actually Googled to get the actual name, because sometimes, you know, some of these names are really hard to pronounce. And his name is Tychicus. Yeah, I know there are many spellings and many ways of pronouncing it, but hey, Google says it's Tychicus. All right, so it's our brother Tychicus from the Bible. Tychicus was actually Paul's fellow worker. So if you turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 20, you will get the name Tychicus there. He's not very mentioned a lot. He's not mentioned a lot in the Bible, but oh, the few things about him is just incredible. Talks about excellence. So Acts 4:20 says, I won't read the other names, but here it says, Paul was accompanied by, and you skip some of the names, and you see the name Tychicus. Can you see that? Further along the line, you see Paul was accompanied by Tychicus from the province of Asia. Now we're going to look at this man called Tychicus, how he could actually be taking up such heavy responsibility. His job is not an easy job, very, very heavy responsibility, but he did not buckle under the heavy responsibility. The reason is two things. Because his work was centered on God. God was his standard, and God was his reward. And the other thing is that he worked for the Lord Jesus with his whole heart. Not only was he excellent by whom he serves, he was an excellent instrument in the hands of God because he worked for the Lord Jesus Christ with his whole heart. He didn't cut corners. He didn't take the easy way out. He grew in his role. He got better. He gave his all. He went to the extra mile. That's excellence as far as the Lord is concerned. So that's why we want to take the life of Tychicus and try and understand from his life what he can tell us about living out our love excellently. It's all good to be excellent. How many of you want to be excellent again? Can I see your hands? Okay, all right, I know. We all want to be excellent. But you know what? I have got a question for you. But what's keeping us from being excellent? You want to be excellent, but there are certain forces that will keep you from being excellent. Today, I found three from the life of Tychicus. The first one is, if you want to be excellent and you don't want to take risks, then not taking risks can keep you from being excellent. The question is, are you willing to take risk? Not taking risk can prevent you from developing the excellence in your life. Tychicus was there in that time. At that time, he sat motionless. He was listening to Paul. His eyes wide open because he was listening to the great man of God speak his heart out. And Paul said to the people, and he said to Tychicus as well, he says, look, I don't know what will happen to me in Jerusalem. Wow, that's a little bit risky to follow someone if you don't know what he's going to do in Jerusalem. Then Paul says, I don't know why, but whenever I pray, the Spirit always warned me that I will face prisons and I will face hardships. Oh, that's a great risk if you're following someone who is going to be in that position. Tychicus was was listening to whatever he was saying. And then Paul would say, I know this will cost my life. Going to Jerusalem will cost my life. But Paul says, I have no choice. I have to go to, and at the time he was in Greece, I have to go from Greece to Jerusalem because the people in Macedonia and Achaia had gotten me to get a love offering to be given to the believers in Jerusalem. Paul says, it will cost my life. I don't know whether I'll be in prison or not, but I need to bring the love offering over to Jerusalem. So what do you do if you are Tychicus? What is going through your mind? I believe that Tychicus would have thought, you know, if I were to follow this man, what's going to happen? What kind of risk am I taking to follow this man? What will happen to my family if really Paul is being put into prison and I have got to be put together with him. But you see, he can't help it. The Spirit of grace was stirring in his heart. You see, he has seen how Paul was preaching in his city. He has seen the miracles of God in his city. He has seen that when Paul preaches, the power of God is upon the people. And he saw all that. He saw all that. But what if he volunteers to go with Paul to Jerusalem? What will happen to him? He couldn't think clearly. Why? Because the Spirit of grace was upon him. It stirred him so much. He realizes one thing. He is a problem solver. He has got the ability. He can walk. You know, when we went to Turkey and Greece, that's one thing we did. We walk a lot. He can walk. He's a walker. He's a problem solver. And he thinks that Paul will be able to go to Jerusalem with his help. And he was seated there. Why? Eyes wide open, mind a lot of questions, but in his heart he knew that he cannot press down this God-given ability to take risk at this time. And so, in that quiet moment, by faith, he put up his hand. Paul, I'm willing to go with you from Greece to Jerusalem. And that's why in Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 to 9, he became Paul's dear brother, we were told. He became Paul's faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Wow, took a risk. When the Spirit of grace is upon us, see, we are grace. Spirit of grace, when he is upon us, he wants us to be excellent. But to be excellent is to be able to take more risk. We really need to redefine risk. I'm not a very risky person because my father is a very safe person. So I've learned from young to play safe. Don't go if you don't have to go. If nothing is broken, don't fix it. Don't trouble till trouble troubles you. So I've learned all that, yeah. So we need to redefine risk because most times we would equate risk with danger. We would equate risk with having to make a lot of major changes. And that's why we don't take risk. But we want to be excellent, but we don't take risk. See, risk are not reckless if they are inspired by God. Risk are big picture ideas from God. God says, you are safe. Hey, let me give you an idea. And it usually comes from God. Because God is a big picture God. He knows what that risk can do for us. It will not break us. Risk won't break us. Excellence is something to be strove in God. Only in God. Yeah. And risk are actually God's rewards to bring us to the next level. I realize every time I'm given a risk, it's like, God, I know your reward is going to be there at the end of it. And I'm willing to take it. Because you are in it. Risk are God's rewards to us to bring us to the next level. And risk are God's amazing opportunities. Because God can see opportunities. And he knows that we are not so venturesome. And so God wants us to be pushed to the next level so that we can get to see his excellence. You see, in a world that is ever-changing, and we are in a changing world, we cannot take risks. We cannot take risks because the world is changing very, very fast. Christians must not just slow down and be afraid of the risks that are around. Where sin abounds, grace abounds. Where things are getting problematic, Christians arise. Amen. Need to take They take risks. It is okay to take risks, especially when God is in it. I just received a text from my friend. Please pray for my daughter. I said, good, we will pray for her. Because a daughter felt called to go and do mission work in Jordan. She is only 17, 18 years old. Got a call from God to go to Jordan, Middle East, to do mission work. Wow. Risk-taking. I told you the last time when I preached, I said how Barnabas took Paul under his wing. Paul was a troublemaker. He took a risk to be a friend to this man whom he doesn't even know whether it's going to cause trouble to him or not. He took the risk to befriend this person. You can't be certain when you are taking risk. But one thing we can be certain about is that God is with us. When you take a risk and God is in it, God is with us, and God will resource you for the job. And God will show you what the excellence is in your heart that God has already put there. When God comes into your heart, He doesn't just put excellence outside your heart. No, He brings excellence with Him because He's an excellent God. And God wants to show us what He can do, because He told us in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, He says, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So in Christ is hidden all the wisdom, all the treasure, all the knowledge. So when you receive Jesus, Jesus comes into your heart. All the treasures, all the knowledge, all the wisdom. So that when you bring out all these skills that you have, and all these words and all these talents and all these resources that you have, you bring it to the table, it's going to bring transformation to other people. And it will bring transformation to the people around you, even to the nation. It is when we are willing to take the risk. Take the risk and say, oh God, I want to be excellent. And God says, all right, take some risk. Take some risk, put out your gifts, put out your resources onto the table and see how God can use your gifts and God can use your resources, including your emotions. Sometimes, you know, it's not being vulnerable. Sometimes being vulnerable is a very scary thing. Like, oh, if I lost something and if I were to share, that may not be so good. No, if you lost something and it pains you and you have overcome it, bring it to the table and let that rawness. I was just looking at Ivan and the word came. Raw, he has a t-shirt. Bring out the rawness. It's not in my notes. You can check my notes. Huh? This is very fresh. Bring out the rawness. Put it on the table. You never know when you take the risk to put something so raw, a loss of something or something, put it on the table. You don't know what it can do to bring transformation to people around. Well, that's what Tychicus did. Tychicus says, I will follow you, Paul. Where you lead, I will follow. What you feed, I will swallow. No, he didn't say that. It's not recorded in the Bible. I just made it up, okay? I put two and two together. But essentially, that's what he's saying. I will take the risk. I'm hearing from God that this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to accompany you from Greece to Jerusalem. I will make sure, protect you, accompany you so that whatever mission that you have in your heart to do, that you will be able to do it. Take the risk. What is God telling us to do? I don't know. I don't know what risk God wants you to be facing up to and to do something, to take the risk to go out of your boundary. Maybe you can't cook and now maybe God says, you know, how about cooking a meal? I don't know. That may be risky. I don't know what is risky to you, but whatever God says to you, if He's in it, it is not risky. It is faith. By faith, you stand out from the crowd. By faith, Tychicus stood out from the crowd and went with Paul to Jerusalem, and he saw how Jerusalem was prospered because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The next thing is, if we want to be excellent, if we want to serve the Lord with our whole heart, if we want to use the Lord Jesus Christ as our benchmark, where to go, how to do things, that God is our compass, that God is our standard, then the next thing is we need to take added responsibility. Oh, but he says, oh, I'm already so tired. I've taken a lot of responsibility already. Now I'm saying, take added responsibility. Wow, this is Pastor Kara at a driver mode. But I'm telling you what, when you take added responsibility as the Lord directs you. The Lord says He will be your what? He'll be your rewarder. He'll be your rewarder. I was talking with a brother, and this brother is very, very perceptive. And he was talking to me about the parable of the talents. And he says, you know, I don't understand this. I said, okay, let's see where you are going with this. He says, you know, when the man with the one city, right, when he was faithful in the one city, in the five city, that God gives him another five cities to take care. And then the man with the two cities, he was doing so well, he was taking a lot of responsibility, and yet God gave him two more cities because he was faithful. It's like, how come God gave added responsibility to people who are already responsible? Shouldn't God say, you have taken five cities, okay, good, take 5 years to go and rest. Or you have taken two cities, well done, good and faithful servant, take 2 years, go and relax. Does God not believe in rest? I totally believe that God believes in rest. That's why He talks a lot about rest. Maybe one day we can talk about the Sabbath. I definitely believe in rest, okay? But here, it sounds like, how come God reward responsibility with extra responsibility? There must be something there. I gathered it's because if you want to have the excellence of character, it can only come when it is tested. When the heat is on, when the pressure is increased, when the responsibilities are added, that's when excellence will come. I was at the Women in Focus breakfast, International Women Day, and so the Commonwealth Bank invited a few people, so I was one of those people who went for this breakfast. And the lady there was really good. She says, you know what? You need to be bold, you need to be brave, and you need to be beautiful, he says. And the reason why you can be bold and brave and beautiful is that you need to take the heat. When the heat is on, take it, because that will make you bold, brave, and beautiful. I was like, wow, what a word. Yeah, yeah. So excellence comes about when challenges come along our way, when things come along our way, when added responsibilities are given to us, and when the challenges are on, and when you are able to rise up in the excellence of God, that's when your character is made bold. Your character is made brave. She's not even a Christian, and she can say something that is so impactful. We are Christians. We have the Word of God in us. We can have the power of God within us when the challenges come to us. We can take some heat. We can grow up. We can grow stronger if we don't give up. Amen? Amen? We want to be excellent. And what will act against excellence is when we are not prepared to take added responsibilities. Tychicus had the added responsibility after he said yes to go from Greece to Jerusalem. He had the added responsibility of having to carry the letters, the epistles of Paul to the church in Colossae and Ephesus, which means the epistle of Colossians and the epistle of Ephesians. He needed to bring these two epistles, letters written on parchment by Paul when he was in prison. So Paul, true enough, the Spirit warned him, and he was really in prison. He was put into prison. And Tychicus had this responsibility of bringing the letters which Paul wrote to the churches, to Colossae and also to Ephesus. Okay? Now here in Colossians chapter 4, 7 and 9, and also in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse and 12, in Paul's first imprisonment and second imprisonment, Paul wrote to the churches, he says, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your heart. So two things Tychicus got to do. One is to carry the letters. The other one, which is harder, was to encourage the hearts of the fellow Christians in Ephesus in Colossae. You know how difficult it is to explain to them what's happened at the prison for Paul, how he was badly treated, how he was ill-treated, and so on and so forth. But he has got to put it in such a way to the Christians in Ephesus and Colossae that, look, you must not be upset by this. You can push on and do more for the Lord. You must be encouraged and don't let your faith be shipwrecked just because you see our brother Paul, who is in prison, suffering hardship. That must be a person of very high EQ, to be able to go into a very anxious situation, to be able to calm people down. In fact, it takes a special grace, isn't it, for someone like that to be able to go into a stormy situation and be able to calm people down. Some people are gifted for this. Tychicus was gifted to be on this special mission. Well, I just said some people are gifted for this. I want to correct that. I think it's really wrong. I think all of us are gifted to be doing this. All of us can go on a special mission. It can be one person, five person, a group. But all of us are gifted to go on special missions. I don't know what special missions, but all of us, correction, if you're listening to my tape, please change the earlier statement. It is not some of us. It's all of us are gifted to be on special mission, because when we are on special mission, the Spirit of grace will empower us with His ability. So that is not your excellence, but is the excellence of the Spirit that is in you. So that when the Spirit of grace is on you, you get new perspectives. You know how to problem solve. You know how to bring the letters to a safe place. You know how to tell the people in the encouraging way. You have the words, because why? The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit will give you those words. But I tell you what, there are forces against this. There are forces against us being excellent. There are forces also against us taking new responsibilities. The force is our main worry. What is our biggest worry? Our biggest worry maybe is that we can't manage the added responsibility. I can't do it. And what is the biggest assumption? The biggest assumption we all make when we don't take added responsibility is we will not survive this added responsibility. I can't do it, and so on and so forth. The reverse is true, because the grace of God will come always when responsibilities are added to you. The grace of God wants you to enjoy the added responsibility, because God knows that you can do it. You don't know, but God thinks highly of you. In fact, I think sometimes God thinks more highly of you than you think of yourself. In fact, God thinks that you can do a lot of things. We think we cannot do a lot of things. God thinks highly of you. And God wants to reveal that in you so that you can be a blessing to yourself and also a blessing to people around you. Just the other day, I just sent a mother and daughter back to China. And the reason why I did that was because I was asked to go and counsel this mother and daughter who lost their father and husband in a car accident at Lenzlin just about 2 months ago, just before Christmas, I think. And in the car accident, a few passed away, but I was asked to counsel this mother and this daughter. And I don't know exactly what I need to do. I know professionally I can go and sit with them, but it's also so raw a moment. It's really hard to go and do something. So I didn't know what exactly to do, but I was available. And so I said, yes, I will be able to go and do something like that. It was an added responsibility, but I say, if God thinks of me and give my name to this particular person, there must be a reason. So I said, I'll go and see what I can do. And it's just going there to sit with them. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes God sends us to places. God gives us added responsibility to sit with people. And I remember this mother couldn't sit face to face with me, just couldn't. Her chair is always far away from me. But on the fourth or the fifth session, I was able to actually pray with her. She wanted me to pray for her. Not Christian. Until today, I'm not sure whether she's a Christian, but she allowed me to even lay hands on her to pray for her. You don't know what you can do until you show up at the prompting of the Spirit, and the Spirit of grace will give you the ability to do just that. So the idea of excellence is not offer your best. I was like, if I'm going to go with all my counseling skills, I'll be very disappointed, because you can't deal with grief that is of such a deep nature with just all the professional models that you have in your showcase or in your file. You know, it's not, you know. But see, the idea of excellence is not to just know that we can offer such and such, but that we are able to give our very best to God when He calls us. When He calls us. And that's why Paul says, I did not come with excellence of speech, of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, but we have in this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are human. We are limited. We are like a clay jar. But when you are yielded to God, you will be that earthen jar that will hold the goodness of God for yourself as well as for others to show the excellence of God. One youth group in Perth says, we want to be soaring. You know, with youths, they always like to be soaring. And that's good, because youths have got wings that they need to soar. But this youth group says, we want to soar and we want to be surrendered. How good is that? I believe when you know how to soar and you know how to be surrendered to God, when you know how to take on added responsibilities and soar, and not only soar, not to use up all your abilities, but to recharge your abilities before God in surrendering to Him, I believe that you're going to enjoy what excellence would look like for you. Amen? Amen. Amen. And the last one is take up new roles. Take up new roles. See, Paul sent Tychicus over to Ephesus to do something. So not only did he have to bring letters and give the report of the people, of Paul to the people, he was asked to go to Ephesus to free up Timothy so that Timothy can come and see Paul. Paul wants to mentor Timothy, not once. Paul mentored Timothy, and Paul wanted to talk with Timothy. But Timothy was pastor of that church, and so he can't come and see Paul. And so Paul thought, because Tychicus is excellent in his spirit and so full on for God, serving God with a whole heart, so Paul sent Tychicus to go and be the interim pastor for Timothy. It's a new role. It's a new role. So if we want to be excellent, is to take up new roles, sometimes in the family. Take up a new role. Maybe in your workplace, take up a new role. I don't know what new roles, but God will give you the new roles. In your in the church, in the ministry, take up new roles. Don't say, no, I'm only good for the old roles. No, no, no. Take up new roles, because God wants to make us excellent in things that you might not know. You see, we have a lot of blind spots. And sometimes it's all hidden in there. But God, who is excellent, who has a good view of the future, knows how to draw things from you. And so He wants you to rise up to new roles. And when you take them, it is one opportunity for you to express the excellence of God. But you may say, no, 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 new roles make me very highly anxious and very threatened. And that's why people like to stay in their routine. People like to stay in their old positions. Why? because it's just safer, it's just easier. So why don't people want to take up roles and responsibilities that are new, that can be bigger, can be a promotion at work? Some people turn down big promotions. Of course, there are many reasons on why people turn down things. And of course, you need to assess it. Sometimes it's really because you don't need the extra money. And so why take up a big job with big money anyway? It doesn't do anything for you. Maybe there are some reasons. But some people don't take up new things or huge roles because they don't think they are good enough. I told you before, I was offered head prefect. The only reason why I didn't want to do a head prefect, taking care of the year 7 right through to year 12, because ours was a combined school, was because I don't think I was good enough. I want to be perfect. I want to be able to perform so much better than the last head prefect. I don't know what it took for me to be a good head prefect, and so I said no. See, we don't do new things because we are afraid of ourselves, you know, afraid what we cannot bring up to the table. Or sometimes we turn down new roles because we feel we are not good enough compared to other people. So others become our standard. See, I told you just now, the idea of excellence does not depend on others. If you depend on others, then others will not make you excellent. But if you are pitched against the standard of Christ, Christ thinks the world of you. The Lord Jesus thinks the world of you. He says, I can make nothing, something out of nothing. Of course, I can make something out of us. And so sometimes others can be our standard. Sometimes we try to strive too much to be like other people. And it's too hard. You know, when you have got big shoes to fill, you say, oh no, it's too hard. So I'm not going to take up this role. This new role is given to me. I'm required to do a lot more. No, I'm so sorry. Someone else can do better. That's what I did. I recommended Linda. I can still remember her name. The other head prefect. I don't know her at all. I don't even know whether she's good or not. But she was a very easy name to quote because she's very interested in the position. And so I said, Linda will be the one. And of course, she became the head prefect. Okay? Because we compare ourselves to others and we think, nah, I'm not going to take it up. Now, I am so glad that Tychicus did not let Titus or did not let Timothy, the pastors, intimidate him. He was asked to do a pastor's job whilst they were gone to see Paul, and he did not think, oh, their shoes were too big for me, or no, they are so anointed, I am not, or they are so gifted, I'm not so good, and we put ourselves down. That's why it's so good to do that powerhouse session on self-evaluation, not self-devaluation. We devaluate ourselves. And sometimes this kind of self-talk does not solve anything, does not make us excellent. In fact, it makes us worse because we are not free when we think like that. We are not free from our habits. We're not free from our complex. We're not free from ourselves if we talk like that. And so we need to know who we are in God. We need to be more confident of ourselves because of our relationship with God. And we can be healthy in our perspectives of other people when we focus on what the Lord wants for us. You see, God is not interested just in how many things you can do, how excellent you can do, how many people you can talk to and talk so well, how many words you can produce, how many words can you do for this sermon. God is not interested in that merely. I'm sure Tychicus is known for his extraordinary accomplishments. But Tychicus is known for his excellence only because he is wholehearted to God, and that he is called by God to do whatever God has called to him, and he did it faithfully. Those were the indicators of excellence. Those were the indicators of excellence. God wants us to develop a godly life. And a godly life is an excellent life, and an excellent life is a free life. It's a free life. It's free to do what God wants. So in this case, Tychicus, who is the companion and the courier of Paul, he became an interim pastor. Who would have guessed that a yes in Greece would lead him to all these new roles and all these new places. Well, if we say yes to God, we trust that God will bring us to places that God wants you to experience great freedom. Like we just missed our brother and our sister, John and Jennifer. At their age, they are free to do what they want. It's true. Sometimes we say we are free to do what we want, but they're not so free. But they were free to do what they want because they heard from God. And they say they're going to go over to Port Hedland. And they're going to do some teaching there and do some sort of part-time work there. And I was told they are so free, they look like a pair of high schoolers doing a gap year. Free. God wants to reveal His plan to us. Well, God may not want you to go to Port Hedland. God may want you to do something else. But God wants you to be free. And when He gives you new roles, it's not new roles to burden you, to make you feel burdened. God gives you new roles so that you can enter into the godly life with God, where God gives you opportunity, amazing opportunities of risk, amazing opportunities of new roles, right? So that you are able to grow into the image of God, so that you're able to soar with God. And you're able to be so surrendered, and God gives you more areas to soar into. God wants you to be happy. Wow, God wants you to be free. God wants you to be godly. God wants you to be excellent. And I pray that today, whatever has been preached to you, that you will know that the power of God is in you to bring that about. Amen? Let us pray.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.